Well, our focus in December has been on John 3:16. On December 2nd, we began with God so loved. We thought about that on December 2nd, God so loved. And on December 9th, we had a blizzard, and we had time to think about how God so loved. And that was a unique Sunday, and in many ways a good Sunday. On December 16th, we thought about the world that God so loved, and that God so loved, and that he sent his Son for that world. Last Sunday, the 23rd, we thought again about the Son that was sent from heaven above, Jesus our Savior, and then we also thought about believing in him. That whoever believes in him. And that was our focus last Sunday. And today we conclude with this, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Focusing on and celebrating eternal life, I think, is a great way to end the year and to look into the year ahead. And I thought about some of the scriptures that we run across and that we know regarding eternal life. In John chapter 10, my sheep recognize my voice, I know them, and they follow me, I give them real and eternal life. And in John 3:14 and 15, just before John 3:16, the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And then listen to this from the Apostle Paul in the first few verses of Titus. I, Paul, am God's slave and Christ's agent for promoting the faith among God's chosen people, getting out the accurate word on God and how to respond rightly to it. My aim is to raise hopes by pointing the way to life without end. Isn't that cool? My aim is to raise hopes by pointing the way to life without end. This is the life God promised long ago, and he doesn't break promises. And then from 1 John chapter 5. And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, today I want to encourage you regarding the reality of eternal life. And I want to do that with a story. It's a real account written by one of my very favorite storytellers, pastor, author, professor, and servant of Jesus, Walter Wanagrin Jr. At one point, Walter pastored in the inner city, and they adopted several children while he did that. And some of his stories, like this one, come from that setting of ministry in the inner city. He also pastored in North Dakota, and I don't remember whether it was Grand Forks or Minot, but somewhere there. He grew up in that area, and I think he also went back and pastored there. Walter is now a professor. He has cancer, and his book, he's written many, many books, and his book, Letters from the Land of Cancer, received the Award of Merit in the spirituality category of the 2011 Christianity Today Book Award. As I read this morning, The Manger is Empty, I remember times, especially when I was a kid, when we went Christmas caroling. You remember those, Donna? We went Christmas caroling as children and as the youth group. And for some reason, I particularly remember the times we went to what was then called the State Farm, or the state hospital in Wilmer, a treatment center and a home for the mentally ill. And that made for some very interesting, unique Christmas caroling. You may remember, I'm sure a number of you do. You remember some Christmas caroling too. Well, this is by Walter Wannegren, and the music, the lyrics are by Ken Miedema, but shared with us today by Mary Kennedy. Thank you. For 16 years, I lived underneath the terrible and the sweet favor of God. I mean that I was a pastor of an inner city congregation where I learned more about the power, the sweetness, and the hardness of heaven than I did all the years I was in seminary. We had a custom at Grace Church. Every Christmas, on the Sunday before Christmas Day, before Christmas Day itself, our children's choir would gather in the evening at the church. They, together with their parents and I, the pastor, would go caroling, especially to the shut-ins of our congregation. This children's choir was called the Grace Notes, and they always brought with them a jingling sweet joy on these evenings, which made it pleasant for me as well. I always wished when we went caroling that the sky itself would be clear and that the stars themselves would be visible, because when we would go up on the porch steps of an elderly shut-in after singing all kinds of carols, we would ask Ms. Lill, for instance, Ms. Lill, what do you want us to sing? And she would always nod and smile, and she would say, Silent Night. Sing Silent Night. And I know why. I know why. We would sing the first verse. We'd sing the second verse, all of us together. But on the third verse, little Dee Dee Lawrence, 7 years old in those days, would begin spontaneously to sing a descant. This child had such a sweet, floating, beautiful voice that when she sang that descant on a cold winter's evening, it seemed to me as if the voice were a bird. And that bird was flying higher and higher into the heavens on that sweet descant. And at some note, it would go high enough, it would just touch the stars, and all of a sudden, heaven would ring. Dee Dee's eyes would flutter, a sweet kind of fluttering of joy in the song itself, and by the time she was done, Ms. Lill would be weeping, and I would feel cold tears on my cheeks too. This was the beauty of that choir, the Grace Notes. We had such talent and such sweetness and faith. On a particular year when Dee Dee was 7 and my daughter Mary was 7 and others, after singing outside, I took a portion of that choir to St. Mary's Hospital. We were going to sing to the people who were in the wards there. There was one woman in particular that I wanted them to sing to. Her name was Odessa Williams. Odessa loved them. Odessa had been shut in for a very, very long time, and I don't know whether she ever heard this choir, the Sounds of Grace, but she loved them with her whole heart, this woman. When I would visit her in her apartment, she strolled back and forth smoking a cigarette, delivering her opinions now and then again to me. If her teeth were in, it meant that she was upset with me, her pastor. She wanted to make sure that I would hear all the S's and the T's that she was saying so that I would get the full force of her anger. Usually, if this woman was upset with me, it was because of how I handled her choir, the Sounds of Grace, whom she dearly loved like a grandmother. And on the other hand, if her teeth were not in, then I was a good pastor, and she was going to gum me with her love. I wanted the choir to sing to Odessa in the hospital. And when we got there that night in the darkness, however, I had not prepared the children, and that was my mistake. They came into her hospital room from the side. Her bed was stretched out in front of them, and some of the kids went around the bed, between the bed and the wall, but none of the children wanted to touch anything in there, because although they didn't know it, the room smelled of death. Odessa was dying of lung cancer, and I didn't tell the children that. They not only smelled it, but they looked at this woman, this long, dark woman, lying on her back in the bed, her legs and her arms like sticks. Those bones were so long and thin, her fingers like pencils crossed on her belly. But they wouldn't sing, these children. Sing, I said. Sing carols. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? My daughter Mary, who was right across the bed from me, said, no, Dad, we're afraid she's not going to listen. We don't think she will hear. Don't worry about it, children, I said. Sing. Sing and see what will happen with Odessa. And so they did. They began with Away in a Manger, where the little baby Jesus was. And by the second verse of Away in a Manger, however, something began to happen to Odessa as she lay on her back there. The children saw it as well as I did. First thing, she opened up her eyes. She started twitching her eyes left and right to find from where this music was coming. I knew that. The children knew that. And the second thing was, she began to chew. This old black woman began to chew, which told me, number one, that she didn't have her teeth in. Good, good. She wasn't going to fuss at me. But it told me, number two, what all the children knew as well, that she loved what she was hearing. Ms. Williams was chewing their music like the sweetest piece of meat she had ever eaten. The children began to smile around her because they knew that gesture. And after Away in a Manger, they sang Hark the Herald Angels, and while they did, bumped up against her bed now because they liked the face of this woman. And Odessa raised those long stick arms and started to direct them. She directed them while they sang. Them while they sang. It looked to me as if she enjoyed holding the music itself in her arms. And when there was a pause, when there was a silence, I looked to the end of the bed and said to Dee Dee, Silent Night, sing Silent Night. And so we did. Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. The children sang it, and on the very first verse, sweet Dee Dee, 7 years old, opened up that descant. I saw Odessa's eyes. They grew very, very wide, and she looked around for the source of that voice. There it was, just over her feet. Sweet Dee Dee, her lashes fluttering, was flying like a bird. Odessa recognized Dee Dee, and she began to direct that child. She directed Dee Dee higher and higher than I had ever heard Dee Dee go before. This round child at the foot of the bed had a voice as slender as the string of a violin. Higher she sang and higher she sang until she did indeed make the ceiling of the hospital vanish. And we had the whole stars of heaven above us, which suddenly rang with Dee Dee's voice. She was that high in the Empyrean. And then Odessa brought her down, sweet, powerful, dying Odessa Williams brought sweet Dee Dee Lawrence down, and the end of the song placed her at the foot of the bed once again. Now, I'm the pastor, which means that I assumed that I was in charge. So I said to the children, "Thank you, let's go." And not a kid moved. They were all looking at Odessa's face. I was wrong, and they were right. At that moment, Odessa Williams began to talk. I'd say she began to preach, and the children were ready for her preaching. Oh, you children, she said, you my choir. Oh, my choir, she said, you my children. She had never heard them before, but her heart loved them. And they had never seen her before, but immediately they were entranced. You my children, she said, ain't nobody better than you. She said that. They heard that. They believed that. She said, ain't nobody better than you, for goodness. She said, nobody stand in front of you. Then she looked every one of those children in the eye and she said, children, whenever you go singing, you look down to the front of where the people are sitting, she said, and you'll see one chair open. There's always one chair open. And she said, you know what that chair is for? And the children shook their heads, but they waited because they knew that she was going to tell them. And she said, children, that chair is for me. Whenever you sing, I be with you. Wherever you sing in the future, I'm going to be with you. She said, you know how I can say this miraculous thing? They shook their heads. They didn't know, but they knew that she was going to tell them. And she put her hand up and she said, because I be in Jesus, children, and you be in Jesus. We all in Jesus' hand, and ain't no one snatch us out of Jesus' hand, she said. We all in Jesus' hand, and no one snatch any one of us out of Jesus' hand. And she held that strong arm up from the bed, and my sweet daughter Mary reached and put her hands around that bald fist, and she kissed it. And I saw Mary's eyes laced with tears. She had fallen in love with a woman that she had never met before. Dee Dee loved Odessa. Timmy and all the other children there loved Odessa. Because this is what happens with a powerful love, powerfully expressed, that suddenly you fall in love with that one. Suddenly, I say, and forever. Tuesday, which was only two days later, it happened as I knew it would. Odessa died, and the better part of her passed on to heaven. But her body remained, and then we had to put it in the ground. We had only one funeral home in those days that would take our people. It was Gaines Funeral Home. I tell you that because they were always closed on the weekend. There would be no Saturday or Sunday burial. In that year, Christmas Day was on a Friday, and they would be closed then, too. No burial on Friday. Therefore, we decided that we would bury our dear Odessa Williams on Christmas Eve, on Thursday, in the morning. On Wednesday, I was eating lunch with the family. I was busy preparing for all the services that particular year. There are so many at Christmas. And I happened to mention that Odessa had died and that we were going to bury her tomorrow, Thursday. And when I said that, my daughter Mary froze with a sandwich halfway up to her mouth. I scarcely saw it, but I felt the change in her. I finished my sandwich and I got up and I was looking to go, but Mary said, Dad? Very sharp. Dad, And it drew my attention, and she said, "Dad," looking down at her sandwich, Dad, is it going to snow tomorrow?" I said, "I don't know, Mary. I'm not a weatherman, and maybe it will. I like snow." I don't know if that's what Mary had in mind. She said, "Is it going to snow tomorrow?" And I said, "I don't know." And then she looked at me and said, "Dad, I'm going to the funeral." Then I thought I understood what was on her mind. She wanted to know what to wear. We had a custom at Grace. Whenever there was a funeral, we would bring the casket in and place it in front of the chancel in the morning at 9 o'clock or so, so that the people who were not at the wake the night before could come, walk down the aisle, and at least do for a few moments the honor that Odessa Williams deserved. And so it was on that particular Thursday, Christmas Eve, that the casket was opened. In due time, I went to the back of the church to open the door to see whether or not her family had come. I always did that as well. I was robed and prepared for the service. People were already in the church. I opened up the door and I looked, and standing there on the porch was my daughter, Mary. Mary was looking up at the sky, and I said, "Come in." She said, Dad, look, is it going to snow?" I looked up, and it was a very gray sky. It looked very much as if it were going to snow. And I said, "Mary, I don't know. Please come in. Hurry." Her mother was parking the car, and I followed Mary all the way up the aisle to where Odessa's casket was. I watched my poor daughter put her hands over Odessa almost as if she were going to touch her, but not quite. And then she took the same hand that touched Odessa's fist 3 days earlier, and she put her hand upon Odessa's cold knuckles, and she snatched back and turned to me and said, "Dad, is it going to snow today? We're going to put Odessa in the ground on Christmas Eve, and it's going to snow on her." And Mary burst into tears, and she forced her face into my stomach, just boo-hooing. What to say? What do I say? What do I say to my daughter? Those things that you love are never supposed to die. They are never supposed to go away. And this is what my daughter and Dee Dee, who was sitting there, and Timmy and everyone else was now feeling. The world was wrong. The world was hateful. And Mary went back and sat down next to her mother in the pew, and I preached a sermon that had no good effect upon Mary or Timmy or the Grace Notes children. And in due time, we went out to the burial place, and we stood underneath the canopy, and I said the words, "Dust to dust and ashes to ashes." And when that small service was over, I shook hands with all the people that were there, and I came to Mary. And my daughter looked me in the face and pointed to the sky, and she said, "Dad, look." She was right, my poor child. My suffering child. She looked up, and the snow was coming down. It was snowing on Odessa. Into Mary's room that afternoon to feel out how she would handle the service that night. You see, my Mary was going to play the Virgin Mary, and I found Mary lying face down on her bed staring out the window at the snow. And I said, "Mary, you don't have to tonight." She said, "Don't have to what?" And I said, "You don't have to play Mary tonight." I didn't mean for her emotions to be so stressed at a point like that, but she reared around on me, my daughter did, and she said, "Dad, I'm Mary," which I suppose meant that she was also the Virgin and that she was going to play that role tonight. After dark, I drove Mary in the car to the church And the lights, the street lights, were creating cones of snow down upon the streets themselves. Otherwise, it was all darkness around us. And Mary sat beside me saying absolutely nothing. And when we got to the church, it was filled with the hubbub. People were shrugging out of their coats. Little children were running around in their bathrobes. They were going to be shepherds. They were going to be wise men. They were so happy. People were laughing and making such a sweet jambalaya of music for us on Christmas Eve. Everyone except Dee Dee and Timmy and Mary. I let her go downstairs so she could robe, and I took my place, not in front of the congregation. It's the children's service, so I took my place on the right-hand side and then two pews back. The service began and the children sang. Angels gathered up front and they sang. At exactly the right moment, I saw Joseph and my Mary stomping down the aisle. Joseph was carrying a manger with a little doll in it. Beside him was the Virgin Mary, angry, stomping down the aisle, staring daggers at anything holy around her. Joseph put his manger down in front of the chancel just where the casket had been this morning and stood back behind it where my Mary knelt down and stared fierce daggers at the baby that was in the cradle. Her lip was stuck out. This was not a good time. And I, sitting where I was, I suffered for her. It's Christmas Eve, and my daughter is not only unhappy, she's angry. She's angry at things too huge to be handled, at love that's broken in half, at death that comes too soon. So I watched her stare. I watched her stare into that casket at that small, little, black baby Jesus. Again, the children sang. There was an angel who came and brought good news. But in the midst of that angel's good news, my daughter reached into the manger and took the baby Jesus by his foot, lifted him out of the manger and stomped down into the congregation and turned left and walked through a door where my office was and shut the door. No baby Jesus and no Mary and no my Mary left. But the door opened up and out of that door came my daughter straight up, straight as a stick, proud of herself. And she walked around into the chancel again. And she knelt down at the baby Jesus manger in which there was no baby Jesus. And she folded her arms and grinned, proud of herself, happy. And I had no idea why. And we sang Silent Night. All the parents lit candles and the lights went out in the church. And in that darkness, Dee Dee Lawrence sang her descant. The bird rose through our congregation for the third time that week. The bird rose and took the roof off the church and found the bell of heaven and made it softly ring. And then down and then down. I suppose everyone else was at peace, but I didn't understand. And after the service, I drove Mary home. And she stood beside me. She stood on the seat in the car, smiling and talking. And all of a sudden, she said, "Dad?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Dad, that wasn't Jesus in the manger." And I said, "I guess not." She said, "It was just a doll." And I'm thinking in my heart, oh, my poor Mary. Now she has to live in realistic worlds. Nothing will be fairy tale or children's stories for her anymore. She bumped up against reality. "Just a doll," she said. And then she said, "Dad, Dad." And I said, "What?" And she said, "That wasn't Ms. Williams in the casket this morning either, was it?" And I said, "No." And she said, "I figured it out. Jesus came into the world and was born here and grew up and died and then rose up and went into heaven. Jesus came and went and came and went. He comes and he goes all the time. Isn't that true, Dad?" And I nodded and I said, "Yes." And she said, "And then Jesus took Odessa Williams and all that was in the casket was a doll. It was just a doll out. It's just a doll out in the ground under the snow. But Ms. Williams, I figured it out. She's with Jesus in heaven. Isn't that right, Dad?" And I said, "Right." And she said to me, "Dad, why are you crying?" And I said, "Child, because I have no more words to say to you. You are the one with all the words." And she said, "Oh, yeah, okay. So, Dad, I'll talk for you from now on. I can preach for you, and I'll talk for Odessa." And as we drove home, my sweetheart floated up to the empyrean of heaven itself. For this is true, that when a true love is truly expressed, it can suddenly create a love that lasts forever. Mary, my Mary. And we'll ask another Mary to play for us and sing these concluding thoughts.
Oh, sweet darling Mary, you learned the secret. Sweet darling Mary, you learned the mystery. So
darling Mary, you learned the secret. Sweet darling Mary, you learned the mystery. So many wise have never learned. You learned and now you know. So you can sleep in heavenly peace, my love. You can sleep in heavenly peace. We'll sing again. Notice these words.
His glory.
second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let's stand and we'll sing that once more. We'll sing through that once more. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.